What is up, everybody? Welcome into the VolQuest.com post-game mini-podcast. Tennessee, a 33-14 win over Mississippi State. And this post-game mini-podcast is presented by our friends over at GBO Snacks, the official licensed snack of Tennessee Athletics. Whether you're hungry at work, on a road trip, or just need a little pick-me-up, GBO Snacks are the perfect choice to satisfy that Rocky Top craving. The Vols bars are made of toasted oats, almonds, 100% real chocolate, and just the right amount of protein to satisfy that afternoon hunger, ideal for grab-and-go. Gluten-free ball cookies are a must-have for the kids while managing those sweet cravings wherever you go. So every purchase as well of GBO Snacks, you're contributing to UT Athletics as proceeds from every sale go directly to support the amazing student-athletes. So order yours today. Visit GBOsnacks.com. That is GBOsnacks.com. Go Big Orange. Go GBO Snacks. Okay, so Brent Hubbs, Tennessee, improves to 8-1 on the season. Tennessee improves to 5-1 in Southeastern Conference play, but there is a whole lot to unpack from this football game. Biggest storylines, obviously, you don't have your quarterback in the second half. Gassamore goes in, leads this team to a couple of scoring drives, and Tennessee felt like they could win this game, you know, with Gassamore there. Nico goes to the locker room, doesn't come back out. You lost Dante Thornton, you lost Andre Carrick, you lost a couple other guys, but obviously all eyes are, you know, looking towards Nico to see about his health after this one.
Yeah, and I don't think we're going to know. I mean, I think that everybody's just going to have to be patient with this. Josh Heupel said after the game that, you know, he expects that he's going to be ready. I think everybody assumed that would be the answer Josh Heupel would give in the post game. I think Nico had some concussion-type symptoms, you know, and what that means, we'll find out in the coming days and go from there. It's not – I don't believe it's a shoulder or a wrist or an arm or anything like that. You know, typically when they describe stuff as upper body, you know, that's what you're leaning towards, right, Austin? And I think that's, you know, again, the biggest thing is wait and see. See how it is on Monday, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, I mean, there have been, you know, numerous guys that, you know, maybe got their bell rung a little bit, felt fine after the game, and then 3 or 4 days later it kicked in for them. You know, will that be the case here? Who knows? You know, I mean, I think – right now, Tennessee obviously would love to, you know, have him back next week. I mean, it's a huge football game, and you know, he's your starting quarterback. He's your leader on offense. You know, the guys look to, just like Dylan Sampson, and Dylan Sampson's banged up, and so I mean, Tennessee's going to have to wrap each other in bubble wrap the next 6 days, and hopefully get as healthy as they can before they roll down to Athens.
Yeah, I mean, what a position you don't want to be in, right? Heading into this game, this is the game that everybody circled on the calendars. When you look at the college football playoff conversation, boy, if you're 11-1, you're sitting in great position. Whereas if you're 10-2, you gotta, you know, make your best recruiting pitch. You got a hope and a prayer.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say the one good thing is Dylan Sampson got banged up, but he came back in and he ran the ball in the second half and he ended up with 149 yards. So I mean, like, yeah, he's gonna feel it in the morning and probably feel it for the next 5 or 6 days.
We saw him after the game; he's feeling it already.
But the fact he came back in, you know, that's good. Like, because I honestly, when he went down, I'm like, that may not be good. And then he kind of wobbled off the field a little bit. I mean, he wasn't normal. Now he was able to put weight on it, so I was like, okay, he can't be that bad. But you know, for them to get him back out there, I thought was big, just for the next few weeks.
Well, no doubt it's going to be big, but it's not just those two guys. I mean, where are they at the two guard positions? We saw Javonte Spragans go out, came back in, then he didn't finish the game.
I was the same way with Kentucky. You know, he was spared with Lampley back
and forth. And then you had Andre Carrick did not play the entire second half.
Yep.
And so what does that look like? Arian Carter went out at one point, banged up, came back in. I mean, this was a physical game, and you know, Tennessee's been a really fortunate football team, yep. Been pretty healthy all year long with the exception of Keenan Peeley and that injury. They're going to be a lot of bumps and bruises tomorrow. We'll see where everything is on Monday.
Yeah, Dante Thornton as well, kind of a late-game injury there, so we'll look what that is. And you brought up Keenan Peeley, and again, there's a lot to unpack. It's something you and I talked about, you know, post-game. I was like, man, you walk out of the stadium and you feel like, man, that defense just not play well. The night did not play well. You look up, they give up 14 points. They allow less than 300 yards of total offense. They were so good on third downs. Again, they are making it look so boring. That is, when you are getting gashed a little bit at times, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, what's going on? But the point you brought up, and it's a really, really good one, it's the last 2 weeks, the run game, the rush defense has not been good. Entering last week at Kentucky, you average what, giving up around 500 yards or total on the season. The last 2 weeks, they've almost rushed for 500 yards, and that's just not good.
No, I mean, it's, you know, they've got, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if that's a communication issue. I don't know if that's just their eyes. I'm not sure what's happened there, but, you know, they've given up more yards on the ground than you would thought they would have given up. Now, Mississippi State has run the football. They've not been an outside running team. They've been a between the tackles
running
team.
Which is what they did tonight.
And they run between the tackles with some pretty gaping holes at times.
Well, you missed Keenan Peely.
Yeah. I mean, it felt like – and I didn't think against Kentucky that it was, man, they really missed Keenan Peely, because they really missed one bad run fit. It cost them 50 yards. So if you take that 50 yards out, you say, well, okay, they gave up 120 yards, which is more than they normally have, but that's not a bad day.
That's a good day, yeah.
Right. Or less than 120 yards, I guess, because 163, so it had been 113 yards, which is not a bad day at all. This one felt different. This felt like they could kind of get, you know, they could get downhill, and Josh Heupel will describe it as getting downhill on them, and they got downhill. They brought that tight end and run a little trap block with him, and boy, Tennessee had a tough time with it. They just had a tough time with that play and with the run game between the tackles.
Yeah, I mean, I think you and I could have ran through the holes that they opened.
Couple
up.
Of them.
You know, I mean, it was pretty impressive. And I mean, I thought, you know, even in short yardage situations, Tennessee has been a really good short yardage defensive team most of the year. How many times has Tennessee stopped a fourth and one or a third and one? Tonight, I thought that Mississippi State's offensive line bullied Tennessee's defensive line around a little bit, you know. And so, I mean, for my liking, again, I think that might be a good wake-up call for that group, because they've been told how great they are and all that stuff all year long. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, they're going to face another good one next week down in Athens.
Well, I can tell you this. The defensive line coach was hoping Kentucky was the wake-up call, because he was not very pleased at all with the way that that group played against Kentucky, and he'll be less pleased with the way that they played tonight. And so, you know, you'll see. Can Tennessee get some of that edge back in the run game and rush defense next week against Georgia, because they haven't had it where they needed it the last two games? Where they were good to me is they were terrific in the back end. I thought Mississippi State might be able to chunk them with some plays there, and I thought Tennessee's corners played well.
Nope.
I thought Boo Carter was outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they were. I mean, they were solid there. And again, you walk out, you know, they scored 14 points.
I know.
You know, like, I mean, they didn't have 300. Barely had 300 yards of offense, right? And you're like, bad day for Tennessee. I mean, they've been so good at stopping the run. They've been so good at limiting explosive plays that when they hit a couple of those things and some of that happens, man, you feel like, man, they're just not playing real well. And I don't think Tim Banks felt like they played very well tonight. No. So we'll see what this team can – where they can get themselves to heading into Athens, Georgia, with a Georgia team that everybody's trying to figure out what's going on with them offensively right now.
Well, I mean, they had seven plays, Mississippi State. Mississippi State had seven plays where they rushed for over 10 yards, right? I mean, they had three plays where – they had over 15 yards through the air. So, I mean, not a whole lot through the air, but, I mean, seven plays of 10 yards or more on the ground, I mean, that's just too much. I was sitting there and I'm like, man, I really like this Van Buren Jr. kid, this Michael Van Buren Jr., the freshman. And I thought he did a lot of good things, and I really did. And then at the end of the game, I look back, 10 of 26, 92 yards. I know he got sacked a lot, but negative 9 yards rushing. I'm like, holy crap. I thought he played pretty well, and his stats are really, really bad. Again, it's just testaments of the defense and what they've done. Dylan Sampson, granted, I don't understand why. 19 times in the first half, and of course he got beat up a little bit there. A career high 30 times, 149 yards, that's a career high. You look at the drive chart, and again, different week, rinse, repeat. Touchdown, that was great. First time he scored on the opening possession of a football game.
That's not rinse or repeat.
No.
That's new.
First time since Kent State, but here's rinse, repeat. Fumbling at the 7-yard line. Turning it over, getting stuffed at the goal line, fourth and one.
Run calls. Were you not surprised by that, Hubbard? I mean, like, I get it. They're probably thinking, well, if we can't run it from the 7, but I mean, like, I just was surprised that with Peyton Lewis in at that point after the fumble, and I think it was Peyton Lewis's series anyways, that they just went run.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I think it's because, and Eric had these numbers in his story on red zone offense, Tennessee's been really good inside the 10-yard line. Yeah. They've just kind of bullied people and run it down in there. So they run it to the one. It's fourth and less than a yard. They bring in the heavy package, which has not been stopped all year, and you're like, okay, we're good. I mean, you think it's just going to be a touchdown there. And missed block, you got a – a young back who's, you know, was just putting his head down trying to get there, probably could have bounced it and walked in and didn't. But I mean, I think they're just struggling to kind of figure out what they are in the red zone. I mean, look, they tried to throw it at the in the red zone deal down here at the end of the half where they settled for a field goal, and they got Nico plastered on that play. This is the play he got hurt on. They just don't have any real go-tos, it feels like, in the red zone. You know what I'm saying? It just doesn't feel like they – in the passing game in particular, they just don't have a – kind of have a go-to play or a go-to guy in the red zone.
And a guy that hadn't fed Tennessee fans cookies all year, I mean, that just – it screams Brew McCoy. Physical. Get it to your guy that moves the sticks. I mean, he was non-existent tonight. He had a couple of catches late in the football game. Why not channel in a Brew McCoy down there? I don't know, but they struggle with it. They turned it over on downs there at the 1 yard line, getting stuff. They fumbled at the seven. That's what three out of the last four games. Dylan Sampson's had a red zone fumble. Something is that? I mean, it's not, for as great as he's been. That's kind of a trend.
And he was distraught.
Yeah.
When he fumbled. I mean, he was so mad at himself. I mean, he spiked his helmet over here. Yeah.
And if you look at the replay, I mean, he goes in there, two hands on the football. I mean, defender made a play, hat on ball, ball popped loose.
Yeah, he did. I mean, and that was not a – there was nothing technique-wise that was wrong there.
And that's probably why he was so frustrated.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, he did everything he was supposed to do and just didn't finish the play with the football. And I'd say this, you're not gonna go win – In Athens, Georgia, you're not gonna go win against really good teams if you're just coming up empty in the red zone. I mean, there's just been too many, you know. That's just a down, it's just a. Now they had three touchdowns of over 30 yards tonight, which was terrific. But they've just got to be better in the red zone than what they've been. Now
3 for 6 in the red zone, no touchdowns. The one at the end
doesn't count that one. But yeah, I mean, you just. Too many field goals, too many turn. I mean, you turn it over twice inside the 5 yard line. Turnover on downs, turnover with a fumble inside the 10 yard line.
Yeah,
that you're just not going to beat people. You're not going to beat good teams by coming away empty when you're down there. You got to finish those drives.
I thought. I'm not talking any betting lines here. I thought at the end of the game, and I know him and Jeff Lovey are boys, score a touchdown. Okay, I mean the eye test when you're talking about potentially being 10-2 and there being a host of 10-2 teams. The eye test, if you're looking at ESPN's bottom ticker. You know, 41-14. Oh, Tennessee did what they're supposed to do. 33-14. I get it. It's still a huge win, but like, why not make it look even better? I mean, I think every little bit counts because awesome 10-2. If you are 10-2, now you know you got a big game coming up this week. But if you are 10-2, there's a lot working against you.
And the betting lines. There were lots of people not happy with that. but yeah, I mean, I'm with you. Like, does it matter? 30. I mean, it's not. I think if this was 23-13 and you're making it 30-13, but like 33-14, 40-14.
I mean, we are nitpicking here, but I'm just like, for me, my mindset's just like, I mean, do everything you can.
Yeah, right? I mean, I think it's simple. You're going to go win next week. Yeah. Otherwise, you're going to have some help. I mean, like, especially with, you know, today's outcome, you know, Ole Miss winning, they're all of a sudden they're back in it. You know, the only help you're going to get in terms of them losing again would be if DJ Lagway gets healthy and they somehow – you know, find a pulse in the swamp.
Yeah, and Ole Miss struggles on the road somehow. Here's the thing, and I don't know. I have no idea what happens in that meeting room in Dallas when the committee gets together. But you do this every week to get this, to get your rankings out there every week. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't somebody be looking at the score and go, well, did they get garbage points? Because to me, running one in with 30 seconds to go, that should not give you any style point.
Oh,
that should
I
not
agree.
Give you anything at all. To say,
I 100%
agree. They scored 40 instead of 33.
I'm just not convinced that somebody does that on the committee chair.
Well, let's flip it to the other side. Let's say you're leading 45-0, you pull your defense, and they score three touchdowns in the last quarter against your scrubs.
Yeah.
Does the committee know that?
You would hope. I mean,
you would hope, but I mean, it's kind of like the Oklahoma thing. No, everybody. I mean, look at Oklahoma. They literally
Jalen Smith and Evan Spillman. Yeah,
yeah. They benched their quarterback and went to the Hawkins kid for multiple games, all because he went out there and run around against Tennessee's fifth and sixth best linebackers. So I mean, like, I'm not sure people actually really do pay attention to Eric's point.
Yeah, I mean, you would think you're right, but I mean, do they? I know I'm making a bigger deal out of this, because at the end of the day, you know, sportsmanship, whatever. But I'm just saying, in this era, it's like. Who cares? Just do everything you can. I don't know. I want to ask you about Gaston Moore. Of course, we know Nico left the football game. Gaston Moore comes in there, and he's got that. I think you said it. He's got that mindset where he's just like, oh, I don't care. I'm just going to sling it downfield. Obviously, he's got a lot of ability with his arm. But he ran the football. He led a couple of scoring drives. Tennessee's got confidence in him to lead the offense. And it was good to see him do that for a half. We'll see if he'll need to next week.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, playing at home, playing in between the hedges, two different things. The noise, obviously. And then, you know, but the kid does carry for a walk-on. He just carries himself with such a confidence. And he does kind of have that gunslinger mentality. He doesn't care. I do think it was funny, like, we were joking in the press box, and part of it was because, you know, Mississippi State changed how they played Tennessee when Nico was out. But, like, they were throwing him more with Gaston Moore. There was a thread on the board that said, hey, Josh, trainers, hey, coach, Nico's not going to play the second half. Josh, let's open it up. I was like, and we remember Rob and I were laughing about that, but it's so true. He's coming out and they're just winging it all over the place.
Well, but they threw three deep balls that they got penalty flags on. I mean, they were totally safe plays to throw. Here's what Gaston Moore did, in my opinion, tonight. He did exactly what we've talked about all offseason. When everybody was talking about backup quarterback, whatever, what did we talk about, Austin? Could Gaston Moore get you
through
home?
A game? Yeah.
And that's exactly what they did in the second half. I mean, he managed the game. He managed the clock. They didn't have false starts. They didn't. I mean, he had one low snap that he bobbled around and fumbled and recovered. Other than that, he really didn't have a negative play. You can't say he put the ball really in harm's way. He made a really nice throw to the tight end that almost looked like a hot route against the blitz. You know, he had another rollout throw that was a good throw to Thornton that was called back on a holding penalty. He did exactly what you needed to do. He managed the game and got you home and got you the win. I mean, you outscored him 13-7 in the second half. He did exactly what you needed to do. Now, is he good enough to go in four quarters in an SEC game on the road? I don't know. I mean, I don't think you leave here tonight going, hey, everything's fine, right?
No, for sure. Yeah.
But he did exactly what a veteran backup quarterback is supposed to do, manage the game and get you to the house. And he did that.
I mean, we're sitting up here, and I said, Gaston Moore and a quarterback, and all just said, what? I'm like, Gaston, everybody's like, what's going on? Where's Nico? That was a pretty big, shocking moment in this football game.
Well, how many times have, listen, throughout the season, we joke around a lot. And you know how many times I've said that same joke this year? Here comes Gaston Moore. You know, but most of it was when Nico was, you know, struggling a little bit. Yeah. And so, like, I thought he was joking. And then he was like, no, seriously. And I'm like,
last thing, of course, we're going to have plenty of reaction, you know, tons of stuff coming up tomorrow, Rockies out where you want, all that good stuff. Max Gilbert bounced back, and that was great to see, Austin. Had no confidence last week. He was in his head. Josh Hopwell, I thought, said all the right things. I mean, of course, what's he going to say? You know, he said all the right things after the Kentucky game. Comes back in, of course, hit a career-long 51-yarder as well. Kind of got that monkey off his back as well, kind of over 50. 4 for 4, I thought that was great because, again, you're banged up. You're going into a challenging environment. You're going into a massive game. You need every little advantage you can get. It's good to have your kicker back filling himself.
Yeah, no doubt, especially after you called for his job last week.
What'd I say?
I'm just joking, I mean, maybe I called for his job. I don't know. Not really, but still, you know, it was. I mean, like, to be able to put him out there four times, he knocks all four down. And, you know, he started those 2 for 2, and then he kicks the 51-yarder, and I'm like, man, this is – like, he just got a little bit of his mojo back. Like,
take a delay game penalty and punt it.
And then he drilled it, and I'm like, well, he's feeling good. You know, and again, like, kickers are like golfers. I mean, like, you know, and the kickers will tell you they're like golf. It's a lot like golf. It's a mental – you get mentally going one way or, you know, the other way, and it can be the difference between one for six and 4 for 4.
Brent, he missed 5 of his last 6. And again, a couple of those, but they were so desperate for points. They're like 53 yarders, all that. But he missed 5 of his last 6. Then he hit 2 in the span of 46 seconds.
Well, and you look at I think it was the first one he made, which was the short kick, right? The 24-yard kick.
Yeah.
It might have been the second one. One of those two in that span.
24.
I mean, he jumped around like it was the biggest game winner ever. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like the weight of the world was lifted off
his
shoulder.
Good for him, yeah.
You know, and so – no, I mean, listen, you feel much better about him going into next week now. I mean, had he struggled tonight, you're sitting there going, what do they do? Josh Heupel's trying to figure out what he did. He eliminated the storyline that emerged last week that Tennessee's got problems at kicker and they're uncertain and not sure what they're going to do. It's open competition, all those types of things. I tell you, the other competition that to me is no longer open. Austin talked about it. I'm going to steal your thunder here a little bit, but.
Well, I've been calling for it.
I mean, we all have. I mean, we've all felt like Boo Carter was the best punt returner on this team. Listen, he, I know he's going to stress you sometimes.
There were a couple where you're like, what are you doing?
But that's okay. I mean, he fields it clean. I thought the last one he should have fair caught because he didn't have – Tennessee had the lead. They were comfortable. I don't think he'd take a chance there. Fielding that one on a hop over here was a good football play. Yeah. But you got north and south. He's aggressive. He's got swagger about him, AP.
And he had a pick tonight, too.
Yeah. He's playing really well.
He is really playing well.
He, you know, I said, going to halftime on the turn to AP, I said Tennessee just stole, you know, those 3 points there before that, thanks to Boo Carter turn. You know, it was also Jeff Lebby helping him out.
That's what I said. No, thanks to Jeff Lebby calling all those timeouts, trying to be the you know, hype along the other side and be aggressive.
But, I mean, it worked out well because he kept calling those timeouts. They incomplete pass, rush out of bounds, punt. Boo returned to 23 yards to midfield. I mean, there you go. Right. And I thought that was a big moment.
And little did we know then, we had never seen Nico the rest of the game.
We had no idea at that point.
Yeah. Obviously, a lot to unpack in this one. But the most important thing is Tennessee is a winner 33-14. Tennessee does exactly what it's supposed to do. It wasn't flashy at times, but Tennessee does win and setting up for a monster showdown next week in Athens, Georgia.
Anybody's job you want to call for tonight?
I'm good.
Joe for next week.
You know, since the team obviously listens to this, let's go defensive line. Come on now. That's ridiculous out there. All right. We got plenty more over at VolQuest.com. Appreciate you guys for tuning in as always. And a big thank you to GBO Snacks for being a proud sponsor of this podcast. Every purchase of GBO Snacks, you're contributing to UT Athletics. As proceeds from every sales go directly to the Vol student athletes. Order yours today. Visit GBOsnacks.com. That is GBOsnacks.com. For Brent Hubbs, Austin Price, I'm Eric Gain. Tennessee, a 33-14 winner over Mississippi State.